Part 11, Chapter 4. Turl bounced up, pulsing with good cheer and energy. He grabbed some equipment and packages. He still had a schedule, but it was different. He sailed through the compound and into the office of the planet head. Attendants had finished mopping up blood, but there were some stains left. The atmosphere was a bit sharp with cleaning fluids. There sat Kerr. The midget cyclo looked a bit funny and depressed, lost in the immensity of the chair back of the vast square yardage of the desk.
Good afternoon, your planet ship,
caroled Turl.
Would you close the door, please?
Said Kerr faintly. Turl took a probe out from under his arm and waved it about to make sure the place hadn't been bugged overnight. He was almost careless about it. He felt free.
I'm not very popular, said Kerr. People haven't been very polite to me so far. They wonder why Numph appointed me as deputy. I wonder myself. I'm an operations officer, not an administrator. And now all of a sudden, I'm head of the planet.
Turl, with a wonderful smile on his mouth bones, stepped closer.
Now what I'm going to tell you, Kerr, I will deny emphatically I ever said. And there is no record. And you'll forget this conversation.
Kerr was instantly alert. As a hardened criminal, he knew better than to trust security chiefs. Kerr wriggled in the chair that was too big for him.
Numph didn't appoint you.
Kerr got very alert.
I did. And as long as you do exactly what I tell you to do, without ever telling anyone I told you to do it, you will be fine. More than fine. Wonderful!
They'll just send in a new planet head on day 92. That's only a couple of months off, and he'll find out if I've done anything wrong. Yes, and he may find out I'm not welcome in certain universes.
No, Kerr, I don't think you'll be replaced. In fact, I'm very, very certain you will not be. You're good for this post for years.
Kerr was wary and puzzled, but Turl seemed so confident that he listened cautiously. Turl opened an envelope and fanned out the evidence he had gathered on Numph. Kerr looked at it with slowly widening eyes.
100 million credit a year swindle, of which Numph got half. You're not only here for years, but you'll be rich enough when you do go home to buy your record clean and live in luxury.
The cyclo midget studied it. It was a little hard to grasp at first. Nipe, Numph's nephew, was crediting full pay to the employees of this planet, but was in fact diverting half the pay and all the bonuses into private accounts for himself and Numph. He finally got that. All he had to do was to continue to deny bonuses and pay only half pay.
Why are you doing this? Do you get a slice of this? Is that it?
Oh, no. I don't even want a quarter of a credit of it. It's all yours. But, of course, I am really doing it because I am your friend. Haven't I always protected you?
You've got enough blackmail on me already to get me vaporized. Why this, too?
Now, Kerr,
said Turl reprovingly. Then he decided it was time to level.
I want you to issue any order I tell you to, and to give me an order in 6 months to go home.
That's fine. I can even issue orders not to countermand any orders you issue. But I still don't see that I won't be relieved in 2 months.
Turl got down to business.
This is the code Numph used. Vehicles in use numbers. You won't be relieved. Nipe, his nephew, has influence. This is your first coded message to Nipe.
He put it on the desk, reminding himself to destroy his own handwritten version as soon as Kerr had it encoded in his. The message said,
Numph assassinated by escaped criminal. New situation created. He appointed me especially to carry on. Arrangements are as always. Deposit his share to my numbered account, Galaxy Trust Company. Condolences. Happy Future Association, Kerr. I don't have a numbered account.
You will, you will. I have all the papers for you, and they will go out in the next transshipment. Foolproof!
Kerr looked back at the message.
Foolproof!
For the first time since the murders, he began to smile. He sat back, seeming to get bigger. Suddenly, he reached forward and slapped paws with Turl, symbolizing full-hearted agreement. When Turl left him, Kerr had swelled up so much he was practically filling the chair. The only reservation Turl had, as he swept on to his next scheduled action, was that the dim-witted little midget might overreach himself with pomposity and make some clownish mistake. But he'd keep an eye on him. He'd keep a close eye on him. And who cared what happened to Kerr once Turl was off this planet? Any potential alliance Johnny might have had with Kerr was wholly and totally severed.